Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for Thursday, the 12th of January, 2017. We are in the book of 2 Kings, and we will be covering chapter 15 through 17 today. And this is all about all these kings ruling in Yehuda and Israel and all the bad stuff that they did, or the good stuff. It's just historical recounting of their actions, actually. So let's get started in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 1. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began to reign Azariah, son of Amatziah, king of Yehudah. Verse 2. 16 years of age was he when he began, when began he to reign. Let's see here. Verse 2. And reigned he 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name, pardon me, was Jecholiah, 3203, of Jerusalem. Verse 3, and acted he uprightly in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that his father Amatziahu had done. Verse 4, except the high places were not removed, the people slaughtered sacrifices and burnt incense still on the high places. This was pagan worship. They were still doing pagan worship outside of Jerusalem, and he didn't go through the country and clean that out. He was a good king, but he did not go all the way. Hot coffee. Verse 5. And struck, 5060, Yahweh the king, so he was a leper until the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house. And Jotham, the king's son, oversaw the house, judging the people of the land. In other words, the king didn't go out because he was a leper. So the judging and ruling fell to his son. Verse 6. And the rest of the affairs of Azariahu and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the words of the days, that's Chronicles, of the kings of Yehuda? Verse 7. So Azariahu slept with his ancestors, and they buried him with his ancestors in the city of Dawid, and reigned Jotham his son in his place. And on verse 7, you can reference Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Now, here, Jotham, they called him his son, okay? He had a co-regent. Uzziah. And Jotham was the son of the co-regent Uzziah, not the son of Azariahu. The places where they call him his son is an honorific. That's all it is. He was not the physical son of Azariahu. Had to clear the pipes there. Verse 8. In the 38th year of Azariahu, king of Yehudah, did Zechariahu, son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Shomeron 6 months. Verse 9. This is the northern tribes. Verse 9. And acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh, as his ancestors had done, turned he away not from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made to sin Israel. That's the guy that was the standard for evil. They keep using him. Verse 10, and Shalom, 7967, son of Jabesh, 3003, conspired against him and smote him before the people. That's publicly, all right? 6905, and killed him and reigned in his place. And the rest of the affairs of Zechariahu, behold, are written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Israel. Verse 12, this was the word of Yahweh, which spoke he to Jehu, saying, your son shall sit on the throne of Israel into the fourth generation. And so it was, and you can reference verse 12, 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 30. Verse 13, Shalom, son of Jabesh, became ruler in the 39th year of Uzziah, the king of Yehudah, and reigned he a month of time in Shomeron. They were not on the throne very long. Verse 14, then Menachem, 4505, the son of Gadi, 1424, went up from Tirzah and came to Shomeron and smote Shalom, son of Jabesh, in Shomeron and killed him and reigned in his place. They were coming and going like crazy. Verse 15, and the rest of the affairs of Shalom and his conspiracy which he planned, behold, they are written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Israel. Verse 16. Then smote Menachem Tifsach, 8607, and all that were in it, and the territory of it from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote, and all the pregnant women he ripped open. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the number. But vicious. Ripping open the pregnant women. Verse 17. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Yehudah, began Menachem, son of Gadi, to reign over Israel, 10 years in Shomeron. Verse 18. Acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh, turned he aside not all his days from upon the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made to sin Israel. That's the guy that made the golden calves and stuff. Verse 19, and Pul, 6322, king of Asher, that's Assyria, 804, came against the land, and Menachem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to secure the kingdom in his hand. Verse 20, and Menachem brought out the money of Israel, of all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver, to give to the king of Asher. So the king of Asher returned and stayed not there in the land. Verse 21, and the rest of the affairs of Menachem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Israel? Verse 22, and slept Menachem with his ancestors in Pekahiah, 6494, his son reigned in his place. Verse 23, in the 50th year of Azariah, king of Yehuda, Pekahiah, the son of Menachem, began to reign over Israel in Shomeron 2 years. Verse 24, and acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh, turned he not away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. They're going to keep bringing this guy up because he was the standard for evil. He set the lowest point. He was terrible. Who made to sin Israel. I'm out of coffee. I'm drinking cold water now. That's better. Verse 25. But Pekah, 6492, son of Remaliahu, 7425, an adjutant, 7991, of his, conspired against him and smote him in Shomeron, in the palace of the king's house, with Argob, 709, and Aryeh, 745, and 50 men from the sons of Gilead. And he killed him and reigned in his place. Verse 26, and the rest of the affairs of Pekahiah, 6494, and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Israel. That's Chronicles. Pardon me for a second. Verse 27, in the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Yehuda, Pekah, son of Remaliahu, began to reign over Israel in Shomeron 20 years. Verse 28, and acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh, turned he not away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made to sin Israel. Verse 29, in the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, 8407, king of Asher, that's Assyria, and took Eon, 5859, Abel-Beth-Maacah, 62, and Janoach, 3239, and Kadesh, 6943, Katzor, Gilead, and Galil, that's Galilee, 1551, all the land of Naphtali, that's the tribe of Naphtali, and carried them into exile, that's all one word, 1540, to Asher. Okay, verse 30. Verse 28, pardon me, you can reference 2 Chronicles. Oh, wait a minute, pardon me. right here, it carried him into exile to Asher, and you can reference 2 Chronicles 28, verse 80 right there. My notes were a little unclear. Verse 30, and Hoshea, 1954, son of Elah, 425, planned a conspiracy against Pekah, son of Remaliahu, and smote him and killed him and reigned in his place in the 20th year of Jotham, son of Uzziah. See, there it shows that he's the son of Uzziah. You reference verse 7 for that. Verse 31, and the rest of the affairs of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Israel. That's Chronicles. So, there's verse 32. In the second year of Pekah, son of Remaliahu, king of Israel, began Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Yehuda, to reign. Verse 33. 25 years of age was he when he began to reign, and reigned he 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, 3388, the daughter of Zadok, 6659. And you can reference that verse in 2 Chronicles 27, verse 1. This guy evidently was a good king. Verse 34, and acted he uprightly in the sight of Yahweh? Did he according to all his father Uzziah had done? Verse 35, however, the high places were not removed. The people slaughtered sacrifices and burned incense still in the high places. Built he the higher gate of the house of Yahweh? So he did one construction project. But he didn't go all the way. He didn't remove the high places and stop the pagan worship. Verse 36. Now the rest of the affairs of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Yehuda? Verse 37. In those days began Yahweh to send against Yehuda Rechin, 7526, the king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliahu. Verse 38, and slept Jotham with his ancestors, and was buried with his ancestors in the city of Dawud, his ancestor, and Achaz, 271, his son, reigned in his place. This is another chapter with some confusing sections, with two men having the same name in the same verse. Whew. It drives you crazy, but they were assassinating each other left and right in this chapter, all backstabbers, and then the people didn't like it that they killed the other king, and they'd kill him. And oh boy. In verse 10, the fourth son of Jehu is a victim of such dealings. And this is a fulfillment of the prophecy told to Jehu in 2 Kings 10, verse 30. And the overall downhill slide for both Israel and Yehuda continues. Now we've got chapter 16 here. Verse 1, in the 17th year of Pekah, son of Remaliahu, began to reign Achaz, son of Jotham, king of Yehuda. 20 years of age was Achaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and acted not uprightly in the sight of Yahweh Elohev, that's his God, as Dawud his ancestor. And you can reference that verse in 2 Chronicles 28, verse 1. Verse 3, but walked he in the way of the kings of Israel, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the nations who had dispossessed Yahweh from before the children of Israel. Now that you can reference Deuteronomy 12, verse 31. And here they are referring to child sacrifice by fire to Molech. They threw him in this big bronze, the mouth of a big bronze idol with a fire in its belly and killed them. Their own children. Evil people. Verse 4. And he slaughtered sacrifices and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every luxuriant tree. That's 7488. That's all pagan worship, where they had orgies under trees and idols and wood carvings and stones and just all kinds of stuff. Pardon me, I got to clear the pipes again. Oh, that's rough, but that's life. Okay, verse 5. Then came up Rechon, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliahu, king of Israel, to Jerusalem to battle. And they laid siege upon Achaz, but could not overcome him. And you can reference Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1. Okay? Verse 6. At that time recovered Rechon, king of Aram, Eloth to Aram, and removed the Ya'udim, people of Judah, from Eloth. And the Aromim, 726, came to Eloth. It's not Edomim, it's Aromim, the Syrians, number 726, came to Eloth and dwelt there unto this day. Verse 7, so sent Achaz messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Asher, that's the Assyrians, saying, I am your servant and your son. Now, these are terms of humility, not literal. Come up and save me from the hand of the king of Aram and from the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. Verse 8, and took Achaz the silver and gold that was found in the house of Yahweh and in the treasuries of the king's house, and sent it as a present to the king of Asher. In other words, he's bribing him to come help him. Verse 9, and hearkened the king of Asher to him. Of course, he got paid off. For the king of Asher went up against Damasek, that's Damascus in Syria, in Aram, and captured it, and carried them into exile to Kir, that's Q-I-Y-R, 7024. And killed Rechon. Solved that problem. Verse 10. And went King Achaz to Damasek to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Asher, and saw an altar that was at Damasek, that's Damascus, and sent King Achaz to Uriah, the priest, the likeness, 1823, of the altar. And the construction pattern, that's 8403, for it, according to all the workmanship, 4639, of it. Verse 11, and built Uriah the priest an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So made Uriah the priest for when King Ahaz returned from Damascus. Not to be done. There already was an altar. So he's going to continue in his evil ways. Verse 12, and when the king had come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached to the altar and offered, 5927, upon it. That's caused to ascend the smoke of the burnt offering. Verse 13, and burnt he his burnt offering and his grain offering, and poured out his drink offering, and sprinkled the blood of his offerings of well-being upon the altar. Verse 14, and brought he also the bronze altar, which was before Yahweh from the front of the house of Yahweh, from between the altar and the house of Yahweh, and put it on the north side of the altar. Not to be done, you know. He's messing around with the house of Yahweh and moving altars around and counter to Yahweh's instructions. Verse 14, you can reference Exodus 27, verse 1 and 2, and 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 15, and commanded King Ahaz Uriah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering, and the evening grain offering, and the king's burnt sacrifice in his grain offering, with the burnt offering of all the people of the land, and their grain offering, and their drink offerings, and sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offering, and all the blood of the sacrifice, and the bronze altar shall be for me to inquire. 1, 2, 3, 9. As consider what will be done with the old altar. Thus did Uriah the priest according to all that King Ahaz commanded. Whew. Verse 17, and cut off King Ahaz the borders of the bases, and removed the laver from upon them, and brought forth the sea from upon the bronze oxen that were under it, and put it on a pavement of stone. And verse 17, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 7, verses 23 through 39, and 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. This guy is just doing, he's chopping stuff up and doing whatever he wants. So, the pavement of stone, 4837, is an idiom. It's marasepheth in the Hebrew. It's an idiomatic usage of that. Verse 18, and the canopy, 4329, for the Shabbath that they had built in the house, and the king's outer entrance he removed from the house of Yahweh for the king of Asher. He gave the metal to the king of Asher in tribute. Whew. Guy's bad. Verse 19. Now the rest of the affairs of Ahaz that he did, are they not written in the book of the words of the days of the kings of Yehuda? That's a question. That's Chronicles. And slept Ahaz with his ancestors and was buried with his ancestors in the city of Dawid, and Kizkiyahu, 2396, his son reigned in his place. Now that's Hezekiah. Okay. So that ends chapter 16. And now we'll go into the chapter 17, verse 1. In the 12th year of Achaz, king of Yehudah, began to reign, Hoshea, son of Elah, in Shomeron over Israel 9 years. See, they jump back and forth between the two kingdoms. Verse 2, and acted he evilly in the sight of Yahweh, but not as the kings were before him. In other words, he was bad, but not as bad as some of the others. Verse 3, against him came up Shalmaneser, 8022, king of Asher, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him tribute, 4503. Verse 4, and the king of Asher found conspiracy in Hoshea, for had sent he messengers to So, that's S-O, 5471, king of Mitzrayim, and brought no tribute to the king of Asher, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Asher detained him, 6113, and bound him in the house of confinement, 3608. Then came up the king of Asher through all the land, and went up to Shomeron, and laid siege upon it 3 years. Verse 6, in the 9th year of Hoshea, captured the king of Asher Shomeron, and carried into exile Israel into Asher, that's the Assyrian captivity, and placed them in Kalak, 2477, and in Kabor, 2249, by the river of Gozan, 1470, and the cities of the Madai, 4074, those were the Medes. For it was that the children of Israel had sinned against Yahweh Elohim, their God, which had brought them up from the land of Mitzrayim, from under the hand of Parao, king of Mitzrayim, and had revered other Elohim, pagan worship. Verse 8, and walked in the statutes of the nations whom Yahweh dispossessed from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel which they had made. Whew. Verse 9, and did secretly, 2644, the children of Israel these things that were not right against Yahweh Elohim, and built they high places, 1116, in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. And I did secretly is kapeu, as in to cover. This is the only use in scripture here. That's 2644. That's the only place it's used. Verse 10. And they set up sacred pillars and poles of Asherah upon every high hill and under every luxuriant tree. That's pagan goddess of fertility and pillars to all the sun god and everything. Verse 11, and there they burned incense in all the high places, as did the nations whom Yahweh carried into exile before them, and did wicked things to provoke to anger Yahweh. Verse 12, for served they idols, of which had said Yahweh to them, you shall not do this thing. So they were just in full rebellion against Yahweh. Verse 13, warned, 5749, Yahweh, Israel, and Yehuda by all the prophets and all the seers, 2374, saying, turn from your evil ways, from your ways of evil, pardon me, and guard my commandments and my statutes according to all the teaching, that's Torah, that I commanded your ancestors and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Verse 14, but they would not listen, but stiffened, 7185, their necks, like the necks of their ancestors, that did not believe in Yahweh Elohim, their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that made he with their ancestors, and his testimonies, 5715, which he testified, 5749, against them, and they walked after vanity, that's worthlessness, 1892, and became vain, 1891, and that's as worthless. And after the nations that were round about them, whom Yahweh had commanded them that they should not do like them. Verse 16, you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 12, verse 28. And forsook they all the commandments of Yahweh Elohim, and made them cast images, two calves, and made an Asherah pole, and worshipped all the host of the sky, and served Baal. The host of the sky were the stars and the moon and all that stuff, and fallen angels. They were the host of the sky, from the sky, because they fell down from the sky. Verse 17, and caused they to make their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, that's Molech worship, where they burned their own children, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. Therefore, verse 18, therefore Yahweh was angered greatly with Israel and removed them from his presence. None was left but the tribe of Yehuda only. They were not quite as bad as Israel, but they were bad. Verse 19, Yehuda also guarded not the commandments of Yahweh Elohim, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they had made. They were following Israel in their apostasy. Verse 20, and rejected Yahweh all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and gave them into the hand of the plunderers, until he had cast, 7993, them from his presence. Verse 21, for tore he Israel from the house of Dawid, and made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, reign as king, and drove Jeroboam Israel from following Yahweh, and made them sin a great sin. That's for the two calves he made. Verse 22, for the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, and turned they not from them. Verse 23. Until that removed Yahweh Israel from his presence, as had said he by all his servants the prophets, so was Israel carried away into exile from upon their own land to Asher, unto this day. And that unto this day means at the time this book was written. And here you go. Pay attention to this. Verse 24. And brought the king of Asher from Babel and from Cuthah, 3575, and from Awa, 5755, and from Kamath, and from Sepharwayim, 5617, and placed them in the cities of Shomeron in the place of the children of Israel, and they possessed Shomeron and dwelt in the cities of it. He repopulated that land with racial aliens. Verse 25, and it was from the beginning of their dwelling there they revered not Yahweh, therefore sent Yahweh lions among them, which slew of them. Verse 26. Let me get a hit of water here. Getting a little dry. Verse 26. So they spoke to the king of Asher, saying, the nations that you have carried into exile and placed in the city of Shamaron know not the manner of the God of, 430, the Elohe, of the land. Therefore has he sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Speaking of Yahweh. Verse 27. Then commanded the king of Asher, saying, go there, one of the priests that you carried into exile from there, and let him go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Verse 28, then one of the priests that they had carried into exile from Shomeron came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should revere Yahweh. Okay, this isn't going to work. They're not Yahweh's people. But listen to this. 29. However, every nation was making Elohim of their own, little idols, and put them in the houses of the high places, which the Shomeroni, that's the Samaritans, 8118, had made, every nation in their cities in which they dwelled. They weren't changing. They're not Yahweh's people. They're not going to worship him. Verse 30, and the men of Babel made Sukkoth, Benoth, 5524, and the men of Kuth made Nergal, 5370, and the men of Kamoth made Ashima, 807. These are all pagan gods. Verse 31, and the Awi, 5757, made Nibkaz, 5026, and Tartak, 8662, and the Sepharwayim, 5616, burnt their children in fire to Adrammelech, 152, and Anamelech, 6048, the Elohim of Sepharwayim. So they were fearful of Yahweh and made from the whole of them, that's anybody in the area, priests of the high places, which acted for them in the houses of the high places. They weren't Aharonic priests because they weren't worshiping Yahweh. Verse 33, they were fearful of Yahweh and were serving their own Elohim after the manner of the nations that were carried into exile from there. Verse 34, unto this day do they after their former manners. They revere not Yahweh, neither do they after the statutes or the ordinances or the teachings and commandments that commanded Yahweh to the children of Jacob, on whom put he the name Israel. Verse 34, he can reference Genesis chapter 32, verse 28, and chapter 35, verse 10. Verse 35, with whom Yahweh made a covenant, that's Israel, and commanded them, saying, you shall not revere other Elohim, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor slaughter sacrifice to them. And verse 35, you can reference Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. Verse 36, because Yahweh, who brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall you revere, and him shall bow down to, and to him shall you slaughter sacrifices. And that verse you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Verse 37, and the statutes and the ordinances and the teachings and the commandments which wrote he for you, you shall guard to do for all time, and you shall not revere other Elohim. Verse 38, and the covenant that made I with you, you shall forget not. Neither shall you revere other Elohim. Verse 39, because Yahweh Elohim you shall revere, and he shall deliver you from the hands of all your hated enemies. Verse 40, they did not listen because they did after their former manner. So these nations were fearful of Yahweh and were serving their carved idols, 6456, both their children and their children's children, as did their ancestors, so do they unto this day. Well, what do we got in America today? We got all these aliens coming in, bringing their pagan gods from their land. They're not assimilating. They're not learning our language particularly. They're not worshiping our God. They're not part of our culture at all. And now they're killing us and destroying our nation and doing all this nonsense. And we wonder why we've got problems here. This is a repeat of this infestation of alien peoples into our culture. So what are we looking at now? We're looking at a repeat of the pagan worship that happened back in the land of Israel back then, and they had just stuck Israel into dispersion. They took them up into Assyria, to Asher, and Yehuda was going to go to Babel. I mean, later on, it's going to happen. So from there, we dispersed all over the place. And a lot of us are trying to go back to the actual worship of Yahweh. But then we have more of our people that are in the Judeo-Christian churches that are teaching a different religion. They have twisted and perverted and changed everything. And they're teaching apostasy to our people. So what do we do about that? We just have to keep on keeping on, folks. We can't get all bent out of shape because a lot of people won't follow. All we can do is put the word out there, and if they reject the word and they keep on in their apostasy, we cannot force them in any manner to come back over the fence to Yahweh's side. We can only put the truth out there. The Holy Spirit has to draw those people. And if it doesn't, that means they've gone too far and Yahweh doesn't want them. I hope before the end of all of this for a great revival in this country. I would love to see that. Where people will abandon all these pagan ways. But lately we have seen all this perversion come into the land. Not just religious perversion, but sexual perversion. The lack of morals. Street killings, murders, stabbings, all centered around people that are not of our race or religion. We're looking at non-Adamites doing all these things. And we are warned not to have anything to do with those people. But by golly, we got them here, and they're important more all the time. And the abomination, little play on words there, because he is an Obama nation. And we're going to see the end of that, and hopefully we get a better deal. I'm not going to hold my breath, but we can always pray to Yahweh for his intervention. We are seeing the numbers of the remnant increase greatly. And that is a blessing. All we can do is keep our faith and work for Yahweh. We can do no more than that. like I said, we can't force anything on anyone. They have to be drawn of the Holy Spirit, and if they are not, that is not on us. There are some people that Yahweh just no longer wants. They have gone, and they have hatred in their heart for their own people. A lot of these people are blood Israelites, but they hate us for teaching the truth. They would rather stay in their little cult that they're in. They don't want to rock the boat. They belong to one of these social churches, worshiping on the wrong day and celebrating Christmas and Easter and eating pork and doing everything we are commanded not to do and listening to the lies that say all the law is nailed to the cross, which it is not. We no longer need to do blood sacrifices for the remission of sin. That was fulfilled by Yeshua, but all is not fulfilled. So not one jot or tittle of the Torah shall fail until all be fulfilled. It's not all fulfilled. Part of it is, but a lot of it is not. So we're watching things come to pass in the last days. We can pray for these people and hope that Yahweh intervenes. But our main responsibility right now is to get ourselves as Israelites spiritually right with Yahweh and to teach our children about Yahweh and his laws, to counter as best we can the influence of the devil vision and the public fool system, to not let our children be raised up by them as little heathens. We need to remove that influence. So if I had a child, I would not have a television in the house. I certainly would not have video games. And we would have a family Bible session every day. Every day. After the evening meal, we would sit down and we would have about 2 hours of real study. You could fit that into your lives, folks. You really could. But that's up to you, what you're going to do. So, we have to work within our families to get right with Yahweh. That is the best that we can do now, and plan spiritually for the future, and also have our families physically prepared. Food, water, go bags. Because if it all falls apart, we're going to have to survive. You have to have water filtration, and you, so many things, they don't cost all that much. You could get a kit together for your family to keep them alive during very hard times, because if they shut off all the water or it gets polluted, you should have a stock of pure water there. Food. Need to have non-perishable food. You're gonna have to stay alive, and that's gonna take effort, and it's gonna be hard. have some medical supplies, whatever medicines that you need, and bandages and disinfectants and all number of things. Things you sit down and make a list. Think about it. I guess they would call me a prepper, but I follow the old adage of better safe than sorry. We don't know when it's going to hit. We know we're going to have a tribulation coming, and it's going to be about 3.5 years, and then Yeshua is going to return. It's going to get a lot worse than it is right now. When the full trib hits, it's going to get really ugly. So it would behoove you to get ready for it. But your children are going to want to know the reason for this. They're going to ask you questions, and you need to answer them out of the Bible. And a lot of people have sort of read the Bible off and on, this and that, but they really don't know it. Well, now is the time for you to really get familiar with what's in the text. These lessons and teachings are for that, to help you. But I can't do it all. It's going to require effort on your part. So we're coming down toward the end of today's session. I will join you tomorrow on Friday with 2 Kings 18 through 20. And that's about the best I can do there. Just keep on with these teaching sessions and hope that you truly get something out of it. Sort of a voice crying in the wilderness thing, but that's what Yahweh's called me to do, and I will do it to the best of my ability with His blessings. So praise Yahweh and keep the faith. And I will say Shalom Aleichem, which means peace be unto you. And I will catch you on the morrow with another section of the book of 2 Kings. May Yahweh bless and keep you. So take it easy.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Live, live, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.